Interview, April 3rd, 1982. Okay, so interview with Angela Lisa Demeron, Calumet, Michigan. Okay, could you tell us when you were born?
Yeah, I was born February 9th, 1884, and I was born here, in Calumet.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Well, we were seven girls and just one boy.
What were the names of your? What were the names of your sisters, your brother?
Constance, Josephine, Julia, Mary, and me, and Irene and Catherine.
Mm-hmm. And then you
and
had
then
a brother?
My brother, Jim, James.
Now, what did they do when they got older?
You mean what kind of work?
What kind of work did they do?
Well, Mary and Catherine were nurses. Catherine graduated at the Harper Hospital in Detroit, and Mary, of course, she went to Seattle after she was. Became a nurse, and she worked for a doctor there for a good many years until he died. She lived in Oregon.
Which one was it that went overseas?
Huh?
Which one was it that went overseas?
Oh, Catherine. She was in the First World War. Oh. She went over with the Harper unit.
Oh, I see.
And she was over there for about 18 months, and of course Jim was over there too, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
He was over in France. He spent a lot of time in France. In fact, he got a citation from, who was that general?
Pershing.
Who?
Pershing.
Who?
Pershing. Black Jack Pershing.
He was a commander-in-chief then.
Oh, awful, I can't remember who he was. I think I have a piece someplace here. Pershing, yeah. And he got
a medal?
A medal, yeah.
Oh, what did he call that?
I think I have that someplace.
Purple Heart?
I haven't got the medal.
This was First World War.
Oh.
And then he spent a lot of time in France. I mean, in England. He was there for quite a while in England. And of course, and then they both came home on the same boat. They didn't know that they were, you know, my sister
uh-huh.
Catherine
yeah.
and my brother, they were on the same boat when they came back from Europe.
Uh-huh.
And then they met there.
Oh,
they met on the boat.
What did the other girls do? Like Constance and.
Constance, of course, Constance and Josephine. They didn't. They just
home.
Were home.
They were home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, which one worked in the bank?
Julia. Julia worked in the bank.
Local bank.
She went to Ferris and then she worked in the bank. And then of course we had the store and she would have worked in the store. You know, she was a bookkeeper.
And then what did you do?
Oh, I didn't do much.
No, you said earlier you'd helped you'd helped your father.
Well,
in the store.
When my father was a agent, you know, consular agent, mm-hmm. I worked for him in the office. In fact, Kate and I both, we used to take turns, you know. We'd work for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we'd help the hired girl. We had a hired girl, of course. And And then we did, and then I'd work with the hired girl, and she'd work in the office with my father.
Which one did you like best?
Well, I liked the, I didn't mind doing a little housework.
No, you liked that better than working in the office?
No, I liked working in the office because you meet a lot of people. And that's about all I did.
Now, was there a lot of paperwork and a lot of activity in the office?
Oh, yes, there was. See, people used to come from Wisconsin, some of these. You know, they used to, some of those fellows used to come here to this country, and then didn't they have to be, they'd have to go back to Italy to serve in the, and they used to, there was a doctor, we had a doctor that used to come and examine these boys, and then some of them would go to Europe, you know, they went back to Italy, to their town, wherever they came from, and they would, they'd serve for a certain number of time, years, I suppose, and then they'd come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot of work to that office.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to my dad.
And of course, when there was a doctor, Rodi, that used to take care of the, you know, the men. He was a doctor for the Tamarack mine. And then, of course, when those two Italian doctors came, of course, Eugene, then he took over. Then Dr. Rodi went away. He's been dead for several years now.
Now, was Rhoda an Italian?
Rodi.
Rodi?
R-O-D-I. I don't know if he was, I don't think he was Italian. I don't know if the name is Italian.
No.
I can't remember whether he was
But there were two Italian doctors that came?
Yeah, there was Eugene. Did you know that, those two doctors?
Well, I've heard, I didn't know them, but I've heard of that from the old timers.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, there was, I think the older one was called Joseph, and the other one was Eugene.
What was their last name?
Virgilini.
Yeah,
now
that's
Virgilini.
That was
the
name.
Yeah, that's what they
mean. And they were brothers?
And I think they came.
Your brothers, Lena?
They were brothers, yeah. And I think they came from either San Martino, or they came from that part of the country.
Were they from Italy?
They were from Italy, and they came here. They couldn't even speak the language.
Oh.
But they, you know, it didn't take them very long before they were good talkers. Especially Eugene, he was a very fine doctor. They were both good doctors, but I guess they had a little hard time, you know. You know how it is sometimes.
Oh, yeah, to get established.
Yeah.
Now, did they work for the mining company?
No, they didn't. They opened up an office of their own.
Mm-hmm. Now, about what year was this?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't remember the years.
1900, real early, or was it 1900? The turn of the century.
Oh yeah,
1900.
It was the early 1900s.
But I couldn't remember it then.
Because I found in the census, I found two Italian doctors that came over and founded these two. And they were here in 1900. They arrived just about. Let's see, what was the, could you tell us where your father and mother came from in Italy?
Where they were, where?
Where did they come from in Italy?
They came from San Martino. It in,
Genovese.
Huh?
Genovese.
Yeah.
Genovese.
Both of them were, I think, yeah, both my mother and father were from San Martino. Canavese, but now it's different, isn't it?
Well, it's a Torino province.
Yeah.
It used to be under Osta once.
No, it changed back. It changed back. It's Torino now. The province of Torino.
Now, what did they do over there? You know,
what did they do over there?
Yeah.
Well, I think my father's people had, they were in the bakery business. I think that's what it was. I'm not quite sure about that. But I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, when he came to this country, and of course he had a very good education. But I know it was Castellano that told us that he was going to be a priest, but he didn't. After his folks died, then he had to come out of the convent or wherever he was, the seminary. I forget I can't remember the name of the professor that he learned from, that he went to school with. I can't remember that.
Then what did your father do in Italy when he was over there, before he came here?
What did he do in Italy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose he worked in the, like they all did over there. I don't know what they did.
Maybe in a baker shop.
Hmm?
In a baker shop?
He went to this seminary, and then he also went, after he came out of the seminary, he got this professor, but I can't remember what his name is. You see, I've got some letters in there, but they're just like that thing that you have, that. It's all, you can't read it.
Touch it.
Yeah.
No. But those you could Xerox.
You have them in there, don't you? You have them in that, those letters, you have them in for Russell, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't think anybody would be able to read those letters.
Oh, no.
I don't know. They have so much that they can, take pictures or do it. Enlarge it or something like that.
Now, do you know why your father came over to the United States?
Well, I think that, of course, they were taxed over there a lot. That's why that's why these people came to this country, don't you?
Well, it was economics.
Huh?
It was mostly economics.
Yeah.
They
sure
figured it was a better life.
I guess they tax all their animals, if they had cows or whatever they had, and that's why those Italians came over here.
Couldn't make it.
They were taxed too much, just like we're taxed so much now.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't taxed in those days. But I think that the foreign countries, that's why the people came here, because they were taxed so much from the governments.
And then where did your father, did he come directly to Calumet when he came to the United States?
No, he stayed in Chicago for a while, and I don't know what he did there. I suppose he did like all of these people, do odd jobs or
whatever.
Then he got acquainted with different people, and I suppose there were a lot of Italians there too.
And then what did he do when he came to Calumet?
Well, then when he came to Calumet, he worked in the mine for one day. And Captain Milligan?
Milligan.
He fired him.
Oh.
And then they became very good friends, Milligan and my father. And then he worked for a merchant. He had a store and he worked Mr. Napa. He was a Finnish man, and he hired him as his clerk. He was a clerk there. And then when he made a little money, he opened up his own store.
He built this building, didn't he?
Hmm?
He built this building.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, we were really the first people that came on this, in this part of the town. It opened up business. And of course he talked good English, he wasn't, my father wasn't dumb.
Oh. So we learned the language.
Was smart.
Good.
Now, speaking of the language, did you speak Italian at home?
Well, yes, we spoke Italian. My mother was there, and we always had Italian people coming up there, so we always spoke Italian.
Mm-hmm.
We had to speak Italian when my mother was around,
mm-hmm.
or anybody that could talk. Of course, we could talk Piemontese,
yeah,
just like all the others around here.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the newspapers, the Italian language newspapers? There was the Italian Miner and the Sentinel.
Well, yes, there was that Minatore. It was mm-hmm. a newspaper that Marinelli had.
Now, who started that?
Or? I think that Marinelli started that paper.
Marinelli.
And then
Marinelli, Marinelli.
And did he have that paper then the whole time?
Yes, until he finally.
Well, then he died, didn't he?
Yeah, he died.
And what's his name? Remember, he probably used to write checks.
Wait, no. What was his name?
What did he do?
He used to write checks. He didn't have any money, but he'd write the checks.
Oh,
out.
Yeah.
Well, he complained, this check is no good. He'd say, it isn't. I'll write another
Rangoni.
One.
Rangoni.
Ragoni.
Ragoni.
R-A-G-O-N-I.
Well, he didn't want to put the bunch of check this time. But I never forget, he went over to the gas station over there. Gloria, Fred Lucchese was running it, and he was great. He'd have a few dollars, but he thought he'd be deposited $5, he could write $50. And he'd give him a check for those days, a dollar, you could buy 5 gallons of gas. So he came in one day, and Freddie said, "Hey, Rigoni, this check is no good." "What's the matter? It's no good." "Well, the bank won't take it." "That's easy. I'll write you another one."
Oh, Ravens, I never heard of that.
So he was the editor that, I mean, he ran the paper.
Right.
It didn't last too long.
It lasted about 2 years, I guess.
I don't remember that, man.
When was that?
Probably the 30s.
37, maybe?
Gone in there. Middle 30s.
Okay.
Well, he was quite a character. I was dressed up like a Duke. Oh,
what was his name?
Ragoni.
Ragoni.
Oh.
Short, but oh, he was a duck.
Then when did Marinelli start the newspaper?
He was the original.
That was before our time.
1890 sometime?
I have no idea.
Do you remember the paper?
I remember the paper as a child.
Hmm?
As a child. I was a little girl in my 20s, I can remember.
Did you read the paper? The Italian paper, the Minatore?
Well, yeah, there used to be stories in it, and my mother would like to, she could read, you know.
Yeah.
She could read a little bit, but you know, she wasn't educated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they were over there, they were poor, and I suppose they didn't go to school much. A lot of these older Italians never went to school.
Yeah.
So you got the paper then. It came to your home. Now,
yes.
didn't your uncle, John Lisa,
yes,
run the paper?
He had a printing shop. And he used to, I don't know, I don't think he had a paper.
The Sentinel?
Did anybody say he had a paper?
Mm-hmm. There was one called the Sentinel newspaper.
And yeah, I think he did. I think he had a small paper. And then he used to do printing, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, Russ, you're asking about
and everything.
Italian Miner. I'm making these notes now.
Yeah.
I know who I can get some school from. This Brocco.
Which Brocco?
Christine Brocco.
Christine, yeah. Now, there's another one that he should interview.
Uh-huh.
Because Christine, how old is Christine?
I think Christine is in her 80s, don't you?
Oh, yeah. She is in her 80s, mm-hmm. at least.
And her dad used to have a baker shop in Brocco.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. But Christine, I'll bet you could, she's a dear, too. She's a nice
she's
lady.
A real nice person.
Just let me know when you come again.
Okay,
and
sure.
Give me about a week or so.
Oh, yeah.
And I can talk to Christine, I'll expand her in the POV, okay. And then we can get together and go see her.
Yeah.
Okay. You can set up interviews.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Are you getting tired?
I'm not too tired.
Okay. Just if you do, just tell us and we'll stop. Okay. Now, did your father ever go back to Italy?
No.
He never went back. What, he wasn't interested in returning? Or?
No, I don't think he was interested
to go
back there. Because lots of times, my mother, of course, she wouldn't go back there at all. But my father never went back.
Was there any reason why your mother didn't want to go back?
No, I don't think there was any. I suppose maybe she was poor over there, you know.
Nothing to go
I
back.
I don't know much about it.
What did her parents do over there?
Her parents? Well, you see, when they had the cholera, I think it was in Italy once, and I think her mother, her parents died when she was, they were just young children. Mm. And I think they were about three or four, they only had three or four girls, and then they had one son, a brother.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the parents died of cholera. Of course, that's many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And they were young children. You know, they were young. My mother was the oldest one.
Okay. Do you remember the your? Let's see. Your mother's maiden name?
Yeah, Martha Nida, N-I-D-A.
And did your father belong to different Italian societies?
Yes, I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know what society. You would know more about that than I do. I don't know anything about the Italian.
Here's a question.
To any Italian societies that Lisa belonged to.
Well, he used to belong to, what's the name of it? San Martino, San Martino. It was the northern part where your folks came from and my folks came from. That group around in there had formed their own Italian, the Alpina.
Oh, yeah.
That was called?
The Alpina.
Yeah.
That was the name of that lodge, because they'd all meet together. Like
yeah.
When I was from a kid. They used to meet together on a Sunday, but once a month. And they'd meet upstairs at John Turiano's saloon, over there in the corner of First and Osceola. Remember upstairs, they had a big hall up there? That's where the Alpina met. But like everything else, in people all start passing away. There wasn't the new ones weren't joining up, and it kind of got thinned out.
Yeah.
And then there was a Garibaldi that was from the maybe the middle part of Italy or going in there. They had their group, like the Barsottis and the Bianchis, you know. And then that felt kind of start slipping. And that's when they combined. Now when, I don't know, but I can find out, I hope. They combined and formed the Christopher Columbus Lodge, which we got today.
Yeah, that's right. I think he belonged to those lodges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he belonged to. He must have belonged to that one, especially the Alpina.
Yeah, that one.
But the Alpina means in the Alpines, and they had the northern part.
You know who has a book about Italians? Helen Triano.
Oh my gosh! Too bad.
Yeah, because I remember. Gone. But maybe they have, maybe Kate has that.
Maybe Kate
would have it.
See Kate book.
No, O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's someone else that could give you some more good
stuff. Mm-hmm. Kate O'Neill, she was a very animal girl.
Now, when you were growing up, did your family interact with a lot of these people, like the Torianos? Were they friends with your
fathers? Oh, yeah, they were friends. We were really friends with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were always friends with the Italians.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of your business was Italian business.
Huh?
Most of your business was Italian business.
Yeah.
And then your dad being a consul, that's when they used to come to him for advice. Mm-hmm. And he used to be part of their co-sponsor when they were made citizens. Now, I get this from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember this. Talk about it.
Now, in Calumet here, did Italians coming from certain areas live in certain areas of town?
Right.
Yeah.
Were there, like, did the Piemontese live in a certain area, and these other people live in certain areas?
Well, I don't think they did that,
oh,
though,
well,
do
not
you?
Too much, because they were mostly all northerners here. We had no southerners, and they were more
well,
or less...
Well, we had those Toscanos.
Well, the
know,
Toscanos
those.
Are really not southern,
yeah.
You know.
No.
But what happened
they're there? More like we are. The
people
only they talk better Italian.
Your folks, San Martino, Canavese, Pranzolito, up around Cruz and those places, they were the workhorses. Aris and me, they all came here and they went into the mines.
Yeah.
Most of them, yeah.
Most of them did. And, but then the Toscano people, like the Bianchis and the Barsadis and the Zays and the Rostellos, no, not Rostellos, some came from the north. But anyway, those people all got to be merchants.
Yeah,
they
did.
Vegetable stores.
It was more like they carried over what they did in Europe over to this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get farther south, that they were more vendors of vegetables and things of that nature. Well, they started putting up their own vegetable stores here. That's the way it went.
Now, you said about where did these people stay? Now, my grandmother.
In the house we're living in.
Yeah,
yeah.
In the house I'm living in, my grandmother had as high as between 15 to 20 boarders. Now, they're all people from that part of the country. I just told you.
Mm-hmm.
Her folks come from my folks come, and in that location.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it used to be so packed in there that they had, because that's what they all wanted to get in the same group, because they came from about the same living condition, that the beds never got cold.
Oh. Yeah,
guy would get up in the morning, go to work, and the guy
shift.
Came in from the night shift, he'd jump in. The only time it ever got changed is when they had to change the sheets. You remember that, reckon that story.
Here's
it's
a
night,
here's a something funny too, that's an odd fact. My father, before he was married, slept in our kitchen. That was his bedroom.
Oh, I'll be back.
And then he went back to Italy and married. I was born in Italy, then we came over. And here I got married, and here I'm living in the house where he was.
Yeah, that's
you know the, how odd.
Yeah.
Coincidence.
Go back to some more.
Coincidence.
This is why I'm quite friendly with Lean and helping her out. My dad left Italy so he wouldn't have to serve in the army.
Well, he was only what 16, Dad?
Yeah, but
just a boy.
Yeah.
16
just a kid.
Years old.
And you know there were land poor. That's one of the big reasons they had to leave. And they've got to come over here and make a little fortune and go back and buy some more land.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my dad came in here, and he came right here to Lisa, and her dad gave my dad a job.
In the store.
In the store. Delivery boy, and mm-hmm. He worked for quite a few years. And I always figured that Lisa was so good to me, that's why I think too much of him.
Yeah, we used to call him Fortune.
Yeah.
We would kill
I get this
kids,
from my dad.
You know,
maybe we're getting away from you want to ask her some more questions.
No, this is good because we're getting all sorts of
little tidbits.
Anecdotes from
yeah.
your own.
Or if there's anything you know you want to ask, because a lot of times you know certain things that can you know that
yeah.
I don't know that you can ask about, you know, what life was like
well,
and what
this
was happening.
Is something that I wanted to did you look into the musical history here in there was a lot of musical
the bands
that went right, and talented people that studied.
Yeah, I haven't found too much of that.
Well, there was a Triano girl who had a beautiful voice. She was a trained, but then she got sick and made nothing of it. But she studied. And then there was that what was his name? Who was with the Metropolitan?
Bajori.
From Hancock?
No,
from
Calumet. Bajori.
Yeah, that's right. The Bajori boy.
And he sang up in La Scala, wasn't it? Did he go to
I don't think he made La Scala.
No,
he made
I don't
Metropolitan,
think he
but he didn't make La Scala.
He wasn't good enough.
He wasn't quite good enough to make La Scala. But
the big heavy set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I ran across a fellow in Hancock, or Quincy, who went into opera, and then he went to Italy and sang in Italy
societies used to put on plays, musical plays, musical
operettas.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
At the Italian Hall, they had a nice stage there. Now this is before my time.
I know. Julie used to.
I have heard that this is all hearsay too.
But, do you remember these?
Yes,
these
I remember
plays?
That. Sure, they used to have those. They had. I remember once they had Shakespeare's play, and it was all good stuff. Uh-huh. Really, they were smart enough. They, you know, they had. I forget who the man was that used to that got interested in doing that. But they used to have plays every once in a while, pretty often.
Yeah.
Now, were these Italians that?
Uh-huh, they were all Italians.
Now, was Shakespeare in English or in Italian?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It was in Italian, though. They talked Italian. It was...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they talked Italian.
Uh-huh. What other plays did... Do you remember the names of some of them or things that they put on?
Well, I remember now. I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, gee, I remembered them, but I can't...
So you can't remember any of the plays?
No, I can't remember them. Maybe when you're gone, I'll remember them.
If you do, jot them down, and then you can tell.
And they had a lot of good singers. Your mother was a wonderful singer, wasn't she?
My mother had a few.
Oh,
well,
they had that St. Mary's. Remember the time? I remember that.
Mary Couple.
Mary Couple was...
Yeah.
And they even had those shows over the Calvin Theater, which was St. Mary's Choir.
Yeah,
out there,
right.
And they really put on a...
That was solo.
So then the Italian community up here did get into entertainment and some of these shows.
There was a lot of culture,
mm-hmm,
that we wouldn't even think of today, but that really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. Uh-huh.
Now, did they ever teach Italian in the schools?
In the schools?
Yeah.
No.
Did they ever have a summer school for Italian?
Oh, yeah.
Italian
they had night schools. When Mama and I came from Italy, Mother learned to speak and
read
and write.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. English,
because the mining company sponsored them. And hired their own teachers, and taught night school.
Right, they did,
because Mom went.
Look at all those women that just couldn't speak English. You know, they couldn't, but they all went to that school and they learned
and
to
they
write.
And they learned to read.
They
and
used
write.
To depend on others writing letters to their children. You know,
mm-hmm,
and they went to school. Look at Mrs. Grignolo, she could really write. And a lot of those women that went to that school.
You know, you're speaking about the Italian. I'll look at a little bit on our end. I don't want to take that away from Leah's part. Our son, when he went to kindergarten, he went to was only about four. The rules weren't those days, and now you got to be five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he went to school, we had to get an interpreter for him for English.
Oh, really?
Couldn't speak a word of English.
We did that purposely, because we wanted his first language to be Italian. Because they say you never forget your first language. And we wanted his first language to be Italian. We knew he would learn English soon enough, which really happened.
Yeah.
Now he says different words, he knows different words. He understands everything. It wouldn't take him long to learn again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he went to school, he couldn't speak English.
Well, you know, when we took our grandchildren, they came along with us in 76,
mm-hmm,
and of course, naturally, the lingua there is Italian. Well, now, even my own daughter-in-law, they didn't get much of a chance to speak Italian anymore. But when they got over in England, it wasn't long, in about a week, they were already started.
They started picking
it
up.
Picked them up right away. Now,
what other questions have you got to ask?
What other questions would you like answered? We stray far afield.
No, we're doing fine. How about the, do you remember the ceremony when your father got the medal from the Italian government?
No, I don't remember that.
Okay. Just trying to, anything that would, relate to your father, any little anecdotes, stories?
Of course, consular from Chicago used to come once in a while, or uh-huh. His people that worked for him. They used to come every once in a while, and they'd be here maybe for about a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a question for you. There are two of them now. Do you remember in 1906, when they took a census, your father had a fellow from Iron Mountain come up and take a census of the Italians throughout the Upper Peninsula?
I don't remember that.
And did your father have to send reports to the Italian government?
Well, he used to work through the council, the Chicago office. You see, he worked through them.
I see.
He used to, of course, I don't think that he'd have to go directly to Italy, uh-huh. But he worked through the council in, there was a Mr. What was his name? And then,
okay.
I forget his name was. Not offering.
But you didn't write reports or anything, or did you? Did you write reports to Italy about what was happening to the Italians in the area?
Well, we never did that. I don't ever remember doing that. You see, we used to correspond with the Chicago office. He was really the, what do they call them?
Well, probably in charge of the area,
yeah,
maybe the Midwest, and then uh-huh. Your father was kind of a...
Yeah, the office was in Chicago. And of course, I suppose they had people in other parts of the country too that were,
mm-hmm.
You have to correspond through them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are you getting tired? Are you getting tired?
I can't remember anymore.
You're getting kind of confused?
No, I'm not getting confused, but I can't remember names.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Sometimes when I was thinking about this thing, I'd remember the names, but now I don't remember them.
If you do that, just write them down. Just write them down, and then...
Yeah, I must do that.
Yeah, and then you can tell us, or we can ask you, who was this?
Well, Cardiello was one of them. He was the consul in Detroit.
What was his
name? And I can't remember the one that was in Chicago. Every once in a while, the people that worked in the office would come. They'd stay here maybe a week or it was really nice because they'd stay. They wouldn't stay at our house, but then they were always in our place.
Yeah.
Now, when you were at home, did your mother cook Italian food?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
She was a good cook, too.
Uh-huh. Well, what were some of the things that she would cook up? What were some of the foods that she would prepare?
Well, just like the Italians, they make a lot of spaghetti and polenta. You know, the northerners used to live a good deal on polenta, did they?
Well, that's what they used to call it over in Italy today. They call that the poor man's.
Yeah. The peasant dish.
Yeah.
The
peasant dish.
But then they grew corn. We were not much for pasta. Our staple was rice. And
yeah,
corn.
Rice, that's right, risotto. They used to make risotto.
And corn.
One thing, go back to Milan, that's where you get the good rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember we had it at the airport, I was surprised, we didn't have it, but they put saffron in it.
Sometimes, mm-hmm. They even have
saffron.
Yeah,
some people put saffron in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that something that you would make or not?
No.
Would your...
No, okay. That was strictly a Milanese.
Yeah.
Milanese.
You know, John, we grew up on Sacramento.
It's all right, first.
I don't want to tire you out, and then you'll be sick tomorrow.
You remember Charlie Salati? Remember Charlie Salati?
Yeah.
He had a store. When he went, he was in the milk business. That didn't go. He didn't like it, so he went into a store like your dad. He had a little store in Orion. And I remember he used to come over to the station there when all his old timers used to congregate, and I used to ask questions. Too bad we didn't have one of those things those days.
Yeah.
But anyway. Charlie had a store, and he didn't know too much about store business, but he learned pretty sharp. But every time somebody came in, and he had different nationalities came in, English people, and every time somebody came in and asked for something he didn't have, he'd mark it down in his book. So when the lead line and those salesmen would come in, wholesalers, he'd say, well, what do you want, Charlie? He'd say, well, I want 100 pounds of flour, and I want this and that and so on. So one day a woman came in and she said, Mr. Solani, now he told me this, Mr. Solani, you got saffron. Now, we Italians never heard of saffron. Maybe heard his folks would have. Charlie didn't know what saffron was. So he said, well, okay, next time the man come in, I'll have some. I'll accommodate him for that. That's why he made a success in the store. So fine, in comes the salesman. Charlie, what do you need today? They're going to deliver tomorrow. Well, bring me some flour, bring me some sugar. Oh, by the way, send me some saffron. Well, the guy said, how much saffron do you want? Charlie said, one. Now, Charlie don't know what saffron is. So I told him, well, send me 100 pounds.
Oh, my God.
The salesman said, my God, Charlie, there isn't 100 pounds in the world. Well, what is it? What's it like? He said, it comes in little boxes. You know, they had little boxes those days with little saffron in. The English people used to make saffron buns. So I said, what happened? She said, well, bring me a couple of boxes, of those little small boxes. And I said, Charlie didn't know what's happening. She said, you know how that saffron lasted 5 years. Can you imagine if I had 100 pounds?
Oh, my God.
I weep when they died when he told us that story.
Now it goes about $2,000 a pound.
Yeah. They have it locked up in cases.
I have some friends up in Duluth, and they put saffron in their stuff, too. Uh-huh. You know, in their rice.
Who knows? I've never tried it. Who knows? Maybe it's good.
Oh, you've never had risotto?
No.
Oh,
not with saffron. We made risotto.
Yeah.
We've had it with
mushrooms. Yeah. You put the saffron in and then chicken base.
Chicken stock.
Yeah, you have to have that chicken stock.
Yeah, chicken stock and then just a little saffron.
It's delicious. It's delicious rice.
Yeah.
I'm bragging about my wife, but I'll give it a go. You know, speaking about rice, we left this last trip. While we drove from our town, we drove to Milan to get the airport. So these cousins of hers wanted to come along because they wanted to have a little boy how old was that?
About 4 years old.
You know how those kids are. Zzzz. Never saw an airplane in his life. He wanted to see an airplane. So that's a plan for the connect the dock and we go along and I'll take you to the airport so you can see real airplanes. Well, fine. We get in there, we had about 2 hour wait before we could get on a flight. So I said, come on, I'll take you upstairs in the dining room and we'd have lunch. Beautiful place. So we started off, you know how there's there, start off with antipasto, you know, their sausage and everything else.
Had
that. And then we had, along with the main course, Derek's main course, you know, he isn't against America. We gollum, but all at once at one time. So he said, well, rice. Milan is known for that. You and I had, but everybody had rice. All but I guess they all had rice. Some had it with mushrooms, some had it plain, and some had it with something else. I forgot what it was. Okay, that was our main dish. Now, and they gave you a good portion with that wonderful Italian bread they got.
Yeah.
And there's bottles of wine, you know. And, well, you're getting kind of full. So, of course, you can have dessert. And dessert there is cheese and fruit.
Yeah.
And I mean, they bring out fruits out of this world. The cheese makes my mouth water just to think of it. Well, I didn't have no fruit, but I wanted some of that. What is that?
That Fontina?
Fontina. So he brought me over a big slice of Fontina. That was my dessert. The rest had fruit, and some had cheese, and some, I don't know if they had ice cream. Well, now, they get it now. There was six of us with the little boy. The little boy, somehow, he just can't eat certain kind of a...
He couldn't eat anything with wheat.
With wheat. So he had some rice, a little bit of rice and a piece of meat, steak, small thing. Well, okay, naturally I invited, I paid. I said, well, now bring me the, there they call it the cunte. So I said, bring me the stuff. Bought the spitball, right? I thought I bought that one of the airplanes. I paid
almost $100.
Almost $100. 90-some-odd dollars, I paid. It was 165,000 lira. Now, I wanted to get rid of my lira because I got some home. You got pictures of lira?
Yeah.
Okay. Coins too?
Yeah.
And the paper?
Yeah.
So, Jimmy Romano that came with us, he had a bunch of lira. I said, what would I do, Jimmy? Well, I had about 500 lira.
He had the American money, didn't he? No, he had some lira.
I said, Jimmy, give me your lira, and I'll pay up this bill in lira, and then I'll, when we get on the plane, I'll change it over to American money. Well, I came anyway, so.
You got rid of your lira in a hurry.
Got rid of my lira.
I've got an idea that it's...
Now, did you have one or more, two questions?
Yeah, no, that seems to be it.
I think we've been at it.
Yeah.
But you're coming again someday.
Oh, yeah.